Tiens, I'm going to share a word, and then I just want you to give, if there's anything you want to add on what you said earlier regarding table view. I'm going to share the word, and then in the end we'll pray for table view. I want to speak about, just before I continue, this formal welcoming and formal way of doing things is an extremely biblical thing. The Bible says that we'll be blessed in our coming in and our going out. So I just want to mention the obvious thing, that any formal reception, any formal blessing, that's the biblical way of doing stuff. We don't just do stuff by the way, and okay, cool, you're going to plant a church there, and you do that thing. The Bible, they always had a formal calling together, a formal laying hands on people, a formal commissioning. In the example, I'm not going to read from Scripture now, but in the example, in Acts chapter 13, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, other places, there were formal commissioning. Even Moses, in the book of Exodus, there was a formal commissioning of the elders and the people. And as there's a commissioning, as there's literally the appointing into a position, there's a laying on of hands always biblically, and then there's always the words of empowerment of grace speaking. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit comes upon the person with the power to do the work. There's always a call from God that we recognize, and as we pray for the person, it's literally, the Holy Spirit literally wraps around the person, the Bible says, or in other pictures the Bible says, it just flows into the person. It more speaks about a mantle, as the Holy Spirit literally wraps around the person to do the work, to empower him for the function. So it's not just you try your best there, see what happens. It's literally under the grace and the unction, the leading and the empowerment of the Spirit that it happens. So that's why we did what we did just now. And we're really excited about God's doing to the church and doing in the church. But like we said, it's always individual people that matter. And to the Lord, every individual really matters. I'm going to speak about the day of small beginnings. Zechariah chapter 4. I'm going to be really short tonight. Well, I'm not going to decrease in height. I'm just going to have a short message. If my wife was here, she would say she will be short tonight. Because she's short always. Zechariah chapter 4. For who has despised the day of small beginnings, says the Lord. Remember as we planted the church in Pretoria, seven and a half years ago, we started praying nearly 8 years ago. We had our first meeting, just a quick discussion, prayer, hear what the Lord says. We didn't just want to do our own thing. We prayed, Pastor Fred didn't see us. William called us together and we started praying there. And there were around 60 people who drove from Johannesburg and Pretoria to that meeting. So we thought 60 people, this will be quite a simple thing. We start with 60 solid people, 60 mature Christians. It's not going to be it should be quite simple. The funny thing is, as we had our first meetings, when we actually, after the discussions, when we started with the prayer meetings, only about 8 people pitched. First time about 8, we were always between 8 and 15 people who come together for the prayer. And then when we started with actually having church, actual meetings in church, there were even less people. We started with 7 people planting the church. And the reason for that is people can just not, they cannot associate church with 7 people. And for me, that's always such a sad thing. It's a verskriklike sad thing. If someone doesn't have the faith, or just the insight, it doesn't even just insight of everything that starts on earth always starts small. It is always born. And the scriptures, maybe you can just read the first scripture, Isaiah chapter 9. This is I ministered a similar word about a year ago. Yeah, so I'm not going to repeat the word, but I just want to mention a few things as we pray for table view. Isaiah chapter 9, prophecy regarding Jesus. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice, from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That's why I could never associate with people who cannot see church small and actually stick around, because it is frustrating. And we just mentioned this. It is frustrating when you plant a church and when you start anything, any company, it's the same thing. So tonight, think about the desires in your heart that you believe that God calls you to do one day. Just keep that in mind as we have this discussion, not just church. But when you come together, I remember when we started planting the church in Pretoria. So in the beginning we were 7, and then we started quickly, we were about 14. A few new people were added quickly. And then we were in a small theater, the Moonbox Theater. Can only 60 people, can be maximum 60 people can sit in there. And so even like 7 or 10 people, it's my bayman in Soeplek, it still looks empty. So we're inside, and then one person would do the offering, and he would come to the stage, and the rest would sit. And then 3 or 4 people would come to the stage, so then 3 people would be there, and 4 people would lead worship. And then I would come up, and then people would come forward for ministry, and then 3 people come forward for ministry, and the other 4 would pray. So it does look funny. It's weird. Everyone is there before church, half an hour beforehand, because everyone must do something to set up, pack up the chairs, and put the coffee, and put the music. And so everyone is there half an hour beforehand, and then we sort out everything for church, and then we have church together. That's Vicky funny. But the reason why the people didn't stick is quite simply because they couldn't associate that with like something that will grow. They just couldn't see it happening. They didn't have the faith to see it happening. But it was quite simple for us, you know, just to receive a word from God, and to hear, and to throw our hands, because we know that what we're doing here is eternal. It's everlasting. It's going to be lost until everyone saved here will be noted by Jesus one day in heaven. And what we're establishing here, we will receive our rewards from God for what we're sowing here, not just for the people that we impact now, but one day we get to heaven. Every single person who gets saved, or every church that gets planted from that church, there's an eternal reward for that from God. So for me, it was an exciting thing, because I could see this happening. I could see it happening. You celebrate every single person that comes into church. It's so cool. Everyone that comes and visits, and like all the 8 guys or 10 guys would go like, hey, you knew. How do you know that? Well, we just know it because we can know that you knew. It's very, very cool. But some people just couldn't associate with that. More than that, some people recognize that it's from God, but they just honestly said, it's just too much work, you know. It's too much work to come into a church that is small, to build a church that is small. It's just, and they were right, it is lots of work. And them, I don't despise it. I just don't, you know, I cannot associate with, I personally cannot associate with, how do you mean, like, doing exactly the Great Commission is too hard? How can it be too hard work for you? Because that is exactly what we're called to do. It is exactly, I just couldn't associate with that. You know, it's too hard work, it's difficult to come to a small church because, you know, you have to do everything. I'm like, yes, exactly, that is church. I cannot see how you can have it anything else. But the reason why I couldn't associate with that as well is even Jesus, who was born, the Savior of the world, God Almighty, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, the Mighty One, even Jesus, the Wonderful Counselor who comes to earth, was born as a pathetic baby. Unto us a child was born, who despises a day of small beginnings. The Lord Almighty, the Savior of the world, the Prince of Peace, the one to whom all authority will go, all the might of the Father, all the favor of God, on whom the government of all government will rest. He was born as a baby, even Jesus. And it was just astounding to me. I read that, and then a while later, I read from even John the Baptist, who was to announce Jesus. There was a purpose from God, who was born in the form of a man. A purpose from God to return the hearts of the whole nation towards God again in repentance, and to appoint Jesus to show him as the Savior of the world. To do that whole thing, he was born 6 months before Jesus. It's an amazing thing for me. Even Jeremiah, a man who had the ministry from God, if you read Jeremiah 1 verse 5 and 6, it says, before I knew you, before you were born, I knew you. Before you were in your mother's womb, I called you. I appointed you to be a prophet for the nations. But he was again a pathetic little baby who was born. And he had to wait. But he had that purpose. No one else had that purpose. So whenever we speak about small beginnings, whenever we speak about anything significant that God calls you to do, we'll never ever start in great power. We'll never ever start in great significance. We'll never, no great ministry, no great company, not IBM, not Microsoft, nothing that is significant, not Coca-Cola, nothing that is significant on this earth ever starts big. It always starts with one person who receives an instruction from God and who's faithful and works hard to make that thing grow up. It's always like that. It starts pathetic. You have to do everything for it. Later on, it's a boy and you can run around. Jesus was a boy. You know what? When Jesus was young, Jesus didn't heal the sick. Jesus didn't raise the dead. He just had a boy who also ran around, who also fell, who also bled. No guy. So anything small, anything of significance always starts small, always starts very small. So that's why. So tonight I'm going to share a bit about your purpose and birthing your purpose in God, and specifically I want the whole church to pay attention to the plant in Tableview, because we are planting that church. The natural way. Isaiah chapter 66 verse 7. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Who's heard of such a thing? Who's even seen such things? For those of you ladies who are pregnant now, for those of you who are planning to get pregnant, for those of you already, you know, please pay attention to the scripture. The baby will not be born outside without pain. That is not possible. And this is what the guy says, Isaiah says. For shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the point of birth and not cause to bring forth, says the Lord? Or shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, says the Lord God? The scripture, a few questions that Isaiah, that God asks through the, Isaiah's pen, Isaiah's mouth most probably. He just says, if any purpose is to be born, if anything significant is to happen, it will always undergo the natural way that everything else goes. It will always be first conceived, and then there will be a time of preparation, a time of pregnancy, a time where this thing is built up, but not seen by anyone. And then it will come out, but when it comes out, when it's born, through pain, through discomfort, and through suffering, when it's born, even after that, then Isaiah, then God says, even then it will be small and pathetic and will need lots of care until it is strong enough, until it is commissioned. There's a purpose from God. It must be birthed in the Spirit and must come out, grow up, and then it is released. Always a time of calling and always a time of separation unto the calling. Always a time of receiving the instruction until it actually comes forth. I'm going to show you this. So just humor me. I've shown this before. I'm an industrial engineer, or I studied that. And everything in life always works with a normal bell curve type of thing. Well, most things. Statistically, some other things. If you're shutting down right now, I'm not going to do any maths here. Vim, a very good friend of mine, he's just click click snogs. He's in at the moment in Stellenbosch, but he is an ancient friend of mine. We've been in the army, in the air force together, and then worked together, and studied together, and do lots of stuff together, planted the church together. But Vim, the legend, is currently busy with his D in power electronics. So he's quite a brainy. And Ira, his wife, is a teacher, and specifically an art teacher. So Vim, Ira says, every single time these days, Vim is busy doing hardcore maths because he's supposed to work out this new thing and to prove his theories mathematically. And then he sees Ira in the gang and he says, hey, did you X like it? Can I get you a bit integrated? No. So tunes her, and then he looks at her and he's just like, ja, jy laat my so dink aan hulle plas transform van hierdie goeders. And she just fades out. She just receives everything as compliments because she chooses to. Ja, maar dit is baie funny. So Wim is baie passief oor die wiskunde, but tonight I'm not going to do any maths. I don't know why I shared that. That's not significant at all. But everything in life always happens the same way. Whether it is the birth of a company, the birth of a ministry, whether it is the birth of a new idea, a new concept, a new design thing. Everything always starts with a conception. And then there's a time of birth, growth, reproduction, and then after it fades away. It dies. Because the Bible says everything, for everything there is a season in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So let's just quickly look, very quickly, at conception and birth. And like I'm saying tonight, If there's a dream in your heart, if there's something that the Lord you believe has called you to, if there's a vision or picture that you saw, I want you to know that if there's any dream in your heart or any commandment which you receive from the Lord, any instruction, that it will not happen by itself. Some people say they wait. Have you heard this? No, God promised and now I'm waiting for God to do something. I can promise you that Danel and Deval conceived the son Reuben. Yeah, but Maynard. Okay, Maynard. Maybe it's twins. Maynard. And they worked hard at making the baby at the moment. She's really working hard. That's why at the end of the day she's tired, because she just produced another few million cells inside of her every single day. So she really works hard. And then when the baby eventually comes, there will be a birth process which will be less comfortable. And thereafter, she's going to still work hard until the Maynard actually has his own company one day, or great profit to the nations, or whatever Maynard, they know what Maynard's supposed to do. I don't know that yet, but it will be lots of time for that. But I just want to say, I want you to keep it in mind. There's a dream in your heart, there's a picture, but you cannot wait passively for God. I'm going to show you what do we do with this now. But first of all, conception. How does it happen? How does the new idea come forth? I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, says the Lord. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Old men shall dream dreams, and young men shall see visions. You can actually just think about that. That is from Joel chapter 2, in a scripture we know very well. But maybe you can just slide down, show the next thing there. Yaku, is there anything else there on the slide, Francois? Thank you. Oh, you can't see that, really. Sorry. But God speaks to us through thoughts, through dreams, through ideas, desires. We may receive clear instruction from God, or maybe you read the scripture and you see something and you know God is speaking to you, a vision or a dream, anything like that. That's how God speaks to us. And that's how God impregnates us with His idea, or with His vision, with His purpose. That's God's, the way God does it. So God may give you or a group of people a new concept, a new idea, and it's a purpose of God that He entrusts to us. The sad thing is many times it just goes over our head. It's sort of that we think about it for a while and it's like, yeah, that's a great idea, and we let it go. And right there, the idea that God has given to us, we don't receive it. There's never conception, never takes place. Quite simply because we don't do anything with it. Something God speaks, we don't see it as significant. At that moment, we know it's significant, or we think this is such a bright thing, but we don't do with anything with it. And I want to say it's the worst thing that you can do. When it pertains to your career or something that you must establish, it's all the same way. Or maybe just a mission trip or anything God wants us to do. If you receive it, if you receive it significant from God, do what Habakkuk 2 says, just write it down. The Bible says, write down the vision, make it clear that he who runs with it may run with it. Because sometimes you can just be a fruit throw. Any other word for that? Midwife. You can just be a midwife. Thanks, Lawson. I saw that. A midwife for God's idea that someone else will run with. You can just be a foster dad for a while for this idea until you hand it over to someone else. But God entrusted you. And if God entrusts something to you, then you need to write it down and at least start praying about it. So it can come through idea, through a dream, through a vision. Let me just, a friend of ours, Shanae Bloom, her dad had a big farm, a massive farm in Mafeking, massive, massive farm. And hulle het beeste gehad, en hulle het mielies gehad, en wild, so klomp sulke goeders, lots of things on the farm. Was a successful farm, but they didn't really make profit. They just cut it. I'm thinking, and he was thinking the same thing. How is it possible with such a fertile, big piece of land, with hard work, lots of hard work, how is it possible that we don't make the money, that we don't make any money? How is it possible? So eventually, they started praying, and he specifically went morning by morning, he actually prayed and says, God, what am I doing wrong? I can't cut anything else. We're not wasting anything, but we're not making money. I don't understand this. And then he just read where Joseph's brothers received the millis, the corn, the maize in Egypt, and loaded it on the camels, and he walked out, and suddenly he just knew that God spoke to him, but he didn't know what God was speaking. He just knew at that moment that God is, because this the scripture jumped at him, shouted at him, and he looked at the scripture, and he started praying about it. And God just says very simply, well, load it on your own camels. Don't load it on someone else's camels. And it was a big, he was like, huh? Do you mean start a trucking business as well? I'm not making money with this now. You want me to start something else? And God says, yes. And eventually, that's what made them really prosperous. It's quite simply, they just started transporting their own thing. It's a simple thing. It was an idea that he prayed about until he had a clear instruction from God on how to do it and how to run it. And eventually he did. In the beginning, it was lots of chaos as well. So I'm speaking about practical things here today. Because if he didn't pray about that and he didn't obey the Lord, he would still just make it month by month. Well, eventually they sold the farm. But anyway, it's by good. Moving right along. So conception, something small that God gives you. For those of you ladies that are pregnant, the gentlemen more specifically, not the gentlemen that are pregnant, but the new fathers, it's the same with your child. And the Bible says in Psalm 127 that the father, like arrows in the quiver, like arrows in the hands of a father, so are children, like arrows in the hand of an archer, so are children in the hand of the father. So it's the same thing, your purpose. I want to tell you guys to start praying about, you hear from God, that's why you name a child, because you tell him where he should go in life. It's instruction. This is what the Lord says. This is where you're going to, and you're training him up in the way in which he should go. Again, the purpose, birthing the purpose in God. So the next scripture, so I just want to mention this, that everything is conceived by God. Everything is born by God. Colossians 1 says everything comes under God's direction. God is the beginning and the end of all things. So the next one of conception, just want to read the scripture so we can clearly see what we're speaking about. Just want to point out something here when it comes to conception. Let's skip Mary's slide from Toronto. Let's just read the next one in Habakkuk chapter 2. I'll stand my watch. I'll set myself in a rampart. I'll watch to see what the Lord say to me, and what I will answer when I'm corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on the tablets, that he may run who reads it. That was quite difficult. That he may run who reads it. When it comes to God's purposes, it is very important. This is why I want you to just take these few notes. First of all, record what the Lord says to you. Regarding anything he shows you. Anything significant that you just feel this moment God is speaking, just do a simple thing and write it down. The idea, the thing that God shows you. Then after the idea, wait on God to clearly speak, to finish speaking. Because what I did and what we sometimes do is we run with presumption. God says something and you're like, and I'm sure most of us have done it, especially when we're teenagers or at a new company. You're so eager. You're so eager as a fox terrier. Yes, bye-bye eager. And you just see someone throw something, and you run. And you didn't see where the thing goes, but you're running because he's throwing a ball. Have you seen a Jack Russell like that or any young dog? They're just dumb that way. Some dogs stay that way. But other dogs are actually smart up. They look, and then they see, your ball is still in your hand. You didn't finish throwing the ball. Same thing. I'm not saying that we're dogs and God is throwing the ball. But I'm saying that when God gives an instruction, just wait for God to clearly speak, to see the direction of the thing. And wait for him to clearly show what he's saying. Because like with Jesus' birth, and I didn't read the scripture, with John the Baptist's birth, with the commissioning of Paul in Acts chapter 13 and earlier in Acts chapter 9, with the same with Jeremiah's commissioning and all those things, God clearly gives a direction and instruction of what it is that you should accomplish. And next he says how you should do it sometimes. Or what is the substance of this thing that you're supposed to do. So wait for when God gives instruction, and we'll come to the substance a bit later. Wait for confirmation, for clarity. Let people pray with you. With the purpose and with the substance, the values of what the things are. And let's just quickly move on to the next thing. And thereafter comes the birth, and then I'll explain the substance. Hear from God, write it all down, and after you've received everything, then you start with the birthing process. Then you start with actually praying through what God is establishing. You birth in the Spirit what God wants us to do. I'll speak about that now for a while. Let me just read the scripture. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. The Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, and he searches the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Speaking here, groanings which cannot be uttered, speaks about travailing prayer. After you received from the Lord clearly, you wrote down what it is that God wants you to accomplish or commands you to do, or the dream in your heart. God says, I will give you the desires of your heart, the dreams. Right after you have a clear understanding of what it is, dit is dan waar jy jou kop op jou knieën neersit. You close the inner room. Sometimes you get a few friends together, sometimes it's just you. But then you pray this thing into being. Romans chapter 4. God who calls those things into being which aren't as though they are. That's where you and the Spirit start praying this thing into being. The error that we always do, and that I did, ek is nie te jonk om regtig baie te praat uit my foute uit. Ek het baie foute, maar ek bedoel, ek het nog nie regtig significant foute raak gesien nie. Ek is nog te jonk om significant foute raak te sien. Mens moet 'n bietjie ouer wees. Ja, ek sien 'n paar mense wat ouer is, ek wat van ander mense se foute kan praat of hulle eie foute met meer autoriteit as ek. But the thing that we sometimes do is you have an idea from God, and then you start looking for partners and for finances. And that's the wrongest thing to do. I know it's not a good word, but it's the worst thing you can do. To start accomplishing something in the natural without birthing it in the Spirit. And I want to say, if anything is significant born of God, whether it be a computer company, anything, you have to pray it into being. The purpose of the thing. What it is that you should accomplish. And you pray that thing into being. The purpose of God. You pray like a machine. You call to God and say, Lord, I pray for this company. I speak it into being. I say, this company will be prosperous in this. It will accomplish this and this and this thing. This is how it should happen. And you speak life into the company. You pray regarding the thing. Regarding the church in Tableview, what Tiens and the guys are doing at the moment, is they coming together. Because yes, we can start with services and start inviting people. But like a church, like anything else born of God, significant too, and especially church, you don't start church with marketing and with great preaching and with great music, because there's no substance and no authority in the thing. So what he's doing now is he's birthing a position and authority in the Spirit of the substance of what the church is like. So what Tiens and the guys are doing at the moment in Tableview, what each of you should do with any purpose from God, is they come together and they pray about what the church should accomplish. They hear from God at the moment, and it's quite simple, it's not deep, but there's a specific mandate upon every purpose from God, upon every church specifically, a unique mandate that this thing, this church must accomplish in the area. Because the church is a redemptive agent from God that must save people from certain areas, and you need a certain anointing from God in a certain area. I remember in Pretoria, when we started praying, it's unique for every church, depends on where you are. So we started praying, and the Lord was constantly speaking to us about a few things, and one of the areas that he spoke to seriously was sexual brokenness. People who struggle with homosexuality, people with perversions, and all those things. So guess who are the people that constantly get saved in Pretoria? It's people that are seriously messed up sexually in every area. They get saved, and then there's a grace from God for them to get healed there, to completely get healed and completely get set free. And then they get married, troppe and troppe and troppe van hulle. And it's really great because people, they get actually healed. Not just do they get saved, but there's a grace from God, a special grace upon the church to bring healing to those type of people. Because we birthed it in prayer. It wasn't there beforehand, but we birthed it. So the other thing that you can do is you can just start a church and then send people to counselors for the rest of their lives, because there isn't a grace from God that is birthed in the Spirit. And especially when you start something, when the baby is born, in the time of conception, the form and the function of the baby is born in the body, and the same in the Spirit. Whenever you start, and when you guys pray, they pray for the purpose, and they pray, second thing they pray for is substance, the values. What will the church be? This is the same for guys who want to get married. Willem and all you guys, if you're engaged and you want to get married, before you get married, you pray the same thing for your marriage. You pray about what your marriage is supposed to accomplish together, and you birth it in the Spirit together. There's something that wasn't there beforehand. There's going to be unity, and for those of you married already, you do the same. Achrit and I do it regularly. We actually pray together, God, what is it that we should accomplish? We pray for a grace from you. And when we speak about grace, two things always. The first thing is a supernatural favor from God in a certain area. And the second thing is also he always speaks about an empowerment, a power from God, literally authority, power, dynamo, something that can accomplish something, something that gunpowder type of thing, thing that has explosive expanding power. Always like that. Those two things you always pray, you receive. You pray for grace. And when we speak about grace, that's what you're praying for. In the church and in the marriage as well, in any union, you pray for the substance, the sick. That's what you're praying for. And when I speak about the substance, apart from the grace, the substance, what we pray for, is you pray, you define what will the church be? Who are we? What is the identity and the substance of this church? Or the company, or the marriage? So, you hear from God what it's supposed to be like, and mostly it will be like the person who leads it. It will take on, you produce according to your kind. But then in the area specifically, and that's why we pray, in certain areas all of us have weaknesses, and we trust God that these areas will be compensated. Well, say for instance, now in the church in Pretoria, I'm just again an example, because it's something that I went through. We specifically pray to God that there must be a specific spirit, literally hospitality in the church, that it must be a welcoming thing. That whoever enters through the doors will, by the grace of God, just feel welcome. It must be the art, that the art wees, the cultuur in die kerk. And it's something that you can teach or correct later, but it's much simpler just to pray it and birth in the Spirit, then it will always be there. It will always be there. So we prayed for hospitality. And then we specifically just prayed for a place of truth and transparency, something you birth in the Spirit. There will be a culture of trust. A culture in the church must be birthed there beforehand, so you can preach it and teach it later, but it's better if you just pray it right there in the beginning, the substance. What are the values that we hold dear to in this church? What are the things that we have specifically a focus for? And then obviously, in our church's context, when we birth a church, we obviously pray the values of the church, of Shofar, into being. We can't teach it, we pray it into being. So what we pray is quite simply, we pray God, that there will always be a passion for excellence, passion for worship. And we will always go beyond. Always, and then we pray all this, not going to go through all the core values of the church. But that's literally what you do. You birth the thing in the Spirit. You receive the idea, you hear what it is, you hear what it's supposed to be like, and then until you receive a word from God, you pray this thing into being. You constantly pray until the church is established. Until you have a peace from the Lord, now the baby can be born, and now the baby can be seen by the people on the outside. And even after that, the baby is not strong yet. And I'm speaking really spiritually now, but I trust that you all at least understand what I'm saying. The next thing, this is what I mentioned here, when the baby is born, and after the baby is born, after the church is established and in the open, after the company is launched and actually starts operating, after you're married and already, everyone knows it, you're married, something like, whatever you... the idea that you receive from God, that you birth in the Spirit. After that, just the last point, it's extremely important to remember the 2-year vulnerability stage. Moses, who was the savior of Israel in the Old Testament, saving them from Egypt. And the first, remember when he was born? Pharaoh knew somehow that something significant is happening. And he killed all the babies under the age of 2 years old, all the males. It was a killing of everyone under the age of 2 years because Satan knew that something significant is going to happen. He kills all the babies because there's a deliverance purpose. The baby cannot protect itself. And it was a wise mother and a wise daughter who actually, Miriam, who protected the baby. God compensated, saved the baby. The same thing happened with Jesus when he was born. Satan knew that there was a salvation. Herod knew that there was a king who was being born. There was salvation purpose from God. It's going to save the whole world from their sins. Satan knew it somehow because he saw the star and he saw everyone get excited, the herders, the engela. He saw something is happening there. He doesn't know exactly what it is or where it is. So what does he do? He just kills everything under the age of 2 years. The same thing happened. So I want you to know, and that's always the funniest thing for me. I just want to mention this here. That's always so funny for me. That yes, Jesus, the Savior of the whole world, God Almighty in the form of a man, born here, wonderful, mighty Counselor, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, born on earth, and his mother and father had to receive a word from God. with all the angels around. I'm thinking, why? I receive a dream by night and flee to Egypt to go until the baby is safe and old enough, and then he came back. Isn't that strange? It just speaks of a vulnerability to every purpose of God. Just because it was born of God doesn't mean it is immune to everything. It doesn't mean it's going to succeed always. It just means that it's a purpose from God, with the grace from God, to accomplish something great, whether it be a company, whether it be a church, whether it be whatever new you're birthing from God. It just means that you still have to protect that thing from God. You still have to nurture it. You still have to protect it. Until 2 years is like sort of, biblically, I understand, sort of a safer thing, just biblically. But until the thing is strong enough to withstand attacks, for the first 2 years, you have to cover that thing in prayer and protect and do what you need to do. Sometimes also to flee the scene, get out of the area until this thing, get out of the heat, get out of the spotlight, until this thing is strong enough, and then you can publicly make it known. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I missed you, I love you. You spend time in God's presence, and you spend time in worship. It's great. Speaking about the child is born, don't despise the day of small beginnings. And then just the promise in 1 John 5 verse 4. Eventually the Bible says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Our faith in action, our faith. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. I want us to, Tiens, is there something that you and Charlene want to say before we just pray and commission you guys?
Thank you. Firstly, Charlene, can you start coming to the front? Thank you.